among us as a family at Emmaus, in our city, and throughout the world. Last week, Chris shared a message. I hadn't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I heard it was a great message on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and just challenging us. So some of those old stories are just great to go back and be challenged by. And so I hope you take that to heart. This morning, I want to jump back into our series. We're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. It's what we love to do here at Emmaus. We take a book of the Bible and we walk through it. And we go kind of passage by passage. And what is God saying to us? How can we learn from this? How does he change our hearts in the midst of what we're going through so that we can go and live for him in this world? And so just to catch you up a little bit, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church in Corinth. The church is just a gathered group of people, just like us, okay? They were going through their own stuff. There was division in the church. People were divided over different leaders that they were following. They were divided over some aspects of theology. So Paul is coming and trying to bring unity in the midst of that. And he says, you know, we should be the most united people. I mean, we have Christ in common. He's forgiven us. We should love one another. We should forgive one another. We should be able to walk through differences. We should be the people who seek reconciliation. And so he challenges them strongly in that. And then he says, the body, and we'll read this more in chapters to come, the body needs to be unified because we are many parts that make up one body. And when the body is working together, it's all good, right? If one part of your body is out of whack, it can be a bad day, right? You ever experienced that? Just like the smallest thing can really throw you off. And he goes, so we need to be unified. We need to be working together with the common goal to share the love of Jesus with the world around us. And we should, as followers of Christ, to have the Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we should be the most kind, loving, joyful, peaceful people. We've talked about this before. Unfortunately, when the world looks on, that's not the way a lot of the world would describe the church. Okay? And so we have to examine our own hearts and ask God, change our hearts in those areas where it needs to be changed. Paul writes in Romans 12, 17 to 18, he says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. So I just want to leave that with you, kind of as we start. Make sure that you're doing everything you can to live at peace with those around you. If you have issues, deal with those issues, okay? It might be difficult, but in the end, God brings healing, growth in your life, and it's an opportunity to help others grow. It's an obligation that we have. Unity is found in Christ. He's forgiven us. He loves us. We need to love and forgive others. So Paul, he just gets done in chapter 1 talking all about this unity, and then he says, when I came to you, I just came with simple words, and I told you the truth of the gospel. I didn't use all these fancy speeches or, I didn't come with eloquence, but just the truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ crucified, raised from the dead, the Spirit of God coming and living inside the believer, empowering us. He goes, there's power in the message of the gospel. I don't have to convince you of that. I don't have to try to argue you into heaven. I trust the Holy Spirit to work in your lives. And he says, you know, I just came with simple words. Now, he says that at the end of chapter 1 a couple of times, and we already have read that. Now, he'll reiterate that in chapter 2, and this is what we're going to jump into, verses 1 to 9, 1 Corinthians 2. Paul says, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan, for I decided that while I was with you, I'd forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Yet when I'm among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to the world or the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Let's pray. God, help us to understand that. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what you prepared for us, those of us who love you. God, give us insight into that. God, help us to see the purpose why we're walking this earth, why we're here, why we're breathing. It's beyond what we do in our day-to-day, 9-to-5, just everyday life. God, we're here for a reason. God, you want to use us. We just open our hearts to you, and God, pray that you would speak to us today. We'd be a part of what you're doing on this earth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Paul says, you know, I don't want your faith to rest on man's wisdom. Now, Paul was very, very intelligent, right? We talked about this the last time we got together. He was a teacher of the law. He was a Pharisee. He could have came in and just, I mean, argued anyone under the table. But he says, no, I came in with a simple message of the gospel, and that simple message has the power to change your life. He goes, but, you know, when I talk with more mature people, I use some wisdom, not the world's wisdom, but God's wisdom. I talk about the mystery of God, what God has been doing from the beginning to now. And it all goes back to the gospel. When you read the Bible, just understand the whole thing is ultimately centered on Jesus. From cover to cover, it's leading up to the coming of Christ, his birth, death, burial, resurrection, and then the fact that he's coming again. It's God reconciling man back to himself. Okay, so it goes all the way back to the garden where Adam and Eve had that perfect relationship with God. They sin against God. They're banished from that relationship, that intimacy in the garden. And then God's plan goes into effect. His plan that was before all time, that Jesus would come and make that perfect sacrifice to atone for our sins. In chapter 1, Paul goes as far as to say, it's through Jesus that you're made holy. I mean, he cleanses you totally. You don't have to work to get in. You trust in him, and then he works on you, right? So you don't have to work. He makes you holy. The mystery was his plan of restoration and reconciliation for his creation, and it culminates in Jesus. Now, if you want to know, let me just say this. There's a little bit of a side note, but if you want to know what eternity is going to be like, or you want to know what heaven is going to be like, it's kind of a popular topic now. There's some goofy new TV series that, I mean, is just crazy. I just seen the previews for it, but on heaven, and, you know, so you see all these things, you know, all these people who have gone to heaven. You got some people who have gone to hell, and they tell stories about that. But if you want to know what eternity and what heaven is going to be like, I want to encourage you to do a couple things, okay? Rather than listening to the people who say they've been there. Read Genesis 1 and 2. See what that relationship with God was like in the garden, how they related to him and walked with him, and how they lived a real life at that time. And he says, you know, that creation was made for us and to cultivate the land and to live with God. And then read the last chapter of Revelation, this new heaven, this new earth that comes after the coming of Christ and the final judgment. It actually talks about a city that comes down. It talks about a place being with God. All right, so if you had these dreams or ideas of like cloud hopping with God or just kind of floating around, I don't want to burst your bubble, but it's probably not going to be like that. All right, in fact, it's not going to be like that. So it's the story that Paul's talking about. It's that mystery of bringing us back into that relationship with him, okay? So it's going to be real. I believe we'll know each other. I believe we'll have the relationships that we have. It'll be different. We'll be in our perfect glorified bodies, and God will be there at the center of it all. Now, it's crazy to think of that, but that's what the scripture talks about. It's a lot more real than what we think. You know, because you see the things, oh, heaven is for real. And then you read it, and you're like, man, that doesn't seem like anything I can even, you know, I've ever seen or relate to. I think it's going to be a lot different than a lot of people think. I also think there's probably going to be a lot more people there than you think, and there's going to be some people who you expect to see there, and you're going to go, where's so-and-so? And, you know, I mean, it's by grace through faith in Jesus. I mean, it's all about Jesus. There's people who come to a place like this every Sunday and they check boxes and they're very religious, but I don't know that they know Jesus. And then there's homeless people who you look and you drive by and you think they're absolutely crazy, but they're only hanging on to one thing and they're like, you know, all they know to do is trust in God and trust in Jesus. I mean, think about when he walked the earth, right? Who were the people who were like by his side? It was all the people that the religious people kind of cast aside. And I'm just struck by verse 9 of what Paul writes. He goes, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. See, I'm convinced if we could just understand a little bit of the truth of this verse, it would change the way we live our lives. There's very few of us who live like this life to come is this real. That it surpasses everything in this world. That what God offers us in his kingdom surpasses everything that we experience here and now. And it was the focus of Jesus' ministry. He said, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Eternity starts now. It's not when you breathe your last breath. I think we do a terrible injustice when we share the gospel with people and say, put your faith in Jesus so you can go to heaven. That's a byproduct. The message is Jesus gives life, and he gives life now, and he gives life to the full. And you begin to live in his kingdom and eternally now. Your life takes on purpose. It can be a little scary because it goes, man, it means like my life, which seems very insignificant, all of a sudden takes on a lot of importance in the kingdom. Like God wants to use me. He wants to use you in everyday life to encourage people, to love people. We're his hands and feet. I've said it before. There's no plan B. Like, look around, look at your neighbor. You're like, this is all he's got to work with, right? So we gotta get with the program. And the program is simply surrendering to him and saying, God, use me however you would see fit. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. If we just believe this, I think we'd love more, we would give more, we'd be less anxious. We'd be the first people to seek to love others. We believe that what we do here in life really does echo throughout eternity. We wouldn't see the world's brokenness as someone else's problem. We'd really see the world like God sees the world. We'd understand that we live in one of the greatest countries in the world, and God has blessed us so that we could be a blessing. We'd understand that blessing goes beyond this room, this city, even our country, and that blessing should be extended to the world. Brothers and sisters that we have, they're living in extreme, oppressive poverty all around. Remember that God is the God of the nations, not just America. We often say there's how many churches in Jacksonville? One. How many churches are there in the world? One, which means we have brothers and sisters all around the world struggling. God is at work, and he's waiting for us to join him. A few of us had opportunity to join him in another part of the world recently, and I want to share some of that with you. So I'm going to share a video, then I'm going to have some people come up and share a little bit. So watch this video as we get started. I'm not afraid to die.
There's a particular NGO which specifically does the work of moving around the country and removing people's jiggers and helping them to eradicate. Then she says they are full.
Samson, how many people stay in here?
There are four.
Four.
Yeah, the mother.
All right, so that was a little taste of our trip. I'm going to ask girls to come on up from our team. We did a lot that week. You saw a lot. That last little piece of that video was one of the homes that we went in, and that little room, which as you can see was just some wood, you know, like limbs and basically straw. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a fire inside that place. That's their little kitchen. I mean, a spark could just set that thing up. Four people sleeping in that little place out in the kind of the bush in Africa. But this is the team that went with us. We also had the Ots, JP and Elizabeth, who met us there. They're missionaries in training in Thailand. They met us in Kenya, and we spent time with them, and we served. And I want to show you a couple slides before I let them share a little something. If you bring up the one of the activity center. So this, and then there's a second picture. This is the building that we helped build, basically helped finance this facility there. It's an activity center that's used for numerous different things, but one is a feeding program. And I think we have a picture of the kids kind of, there's about 40 who are orphans or stay with extended family, parents who have died of HIV, some that just don't have food, and so they come out. There's about 40 that are part of the program. There's about another 20 kids from the neighborhood who just come out on those Saturdays, and they receive a meal, and then they also are sent with some food during the week that's taken to their house to kind of help them get by. And so we helped cook and serve them and just got to see some of that in action. And I'm going to tell you, cooking over an open fire, like a big pot of what you saw me stirring there, is like no joke. I mean, these ladies there are strong. It's amazing. But it's an incredible blessing to these kids. And so just want to let you know, we helped build that facility. And then each month, we actually provide this meal to those kids. Each Saturday, they come and get a meal. And that's provided from us here at Emmaus. So thank you as you give, just to let you know some of what we're doing. But I'll let the girls share a little bit. Just anything that stood out to you, Deanna, I'll ask you to start. Just stood out to you that you'd like to share with the congregation, whether it's something that God taught you, something you saw that impacted you, whatever you would like.
Well, there's several things, but the one thing that is really in need over there is to be accessible to water and clean water. The one picture you saw in the video where there was like kind of a dry creek, but there was a little bit of water and it was green. These children and these families have to walk miles and miles and miles just to get this water. So like my thought, you know, if they could get one day possibly get like a well in a certain area, then the community that lives around that well can come get the water so they don't have to go so far for it. And we're, the Mays Church also provided some water filters that help out tremendously. Just a concoction of a big black barrel.
I think they have a picture of those. Yeah, there you go.
With in that black barrel is some sand and I think charcoal and mm-hmm. stones, and they put it through there, and then it drips down into the yellow buckets, and that's what they carry over there. Another thing that really touched my heart was the one lady that was in the picture with the straw house, kind of the one that near the end, right there. She's been through a lot, but I believe that God is providing her more steps to come successful. A water filter has been donated there, And she was also given a goat, a milking goat from the TCA to help her provide milk. She's getting trained on it to how to feed it properly and breed it and then to milk. And then she can sell that milk and help her family. So there is good coming out of all this. It's just very, very slow.
Yeah, and this situation was really, it was heartbreaking. That's the video you saw, and she shared with us like 2 months ago. They were in here. Now, they're out. When I say the bush, man, I mean, this is, it's 9-10 kilometers out of the little village, and you don't see anything for, like, it seems like miles around, and then all of a sudden, we're driving through, and up, here's this shack, and she shared that, like, 2 months ago, in the middle of the night, someone broke in. And she didn't know if they're coming to steal something, hurt her children, or what. But when we say broke in, like when you think someone breaks into your house, like they come through a door or whatever, they just went through a wall, you know, because it's just sticks. And so she's trying to defend her children. She got hit with a machete right on the top of her head, and so she's, you know, there's just, I mean, concern there. There's so much need, and so we did. We started by with a water filter and some other little things, but this kind of living situation is pretty common there. And, you know, sometimes you see, like, oh, that's just how it is in Africa. Well, I mean, it's not like they're choosing this. This is, like, all they have. And when you can't have clean drinking water and you have to walk miles for that, and they walk miles to get it out of a dirty creek, you know, some of these people. And so we're trying to figure out ways how we can help in those situations. Karis, you want to share something? Just whatever you want to share.
Okay, so something that really stuck out, was sticking out to me was all the little kids who were running around and they didn't have anything that we have here. They didn't have toys or iPads or TV or anything that we would consider, like, spending our time on, and they were all just so happy and playing together, which I thought was really amazing that they have almost nothing, but they're just so happy.
Yeah, there was a lot of joy, and, like, it was... There were some pictures of that school where these girls helped teach a couple songs, and I mean, I think they were overwhelmed. The first one, I don't know if you saw, there was this huge crowd outside, literally hundreds of kids, and you see the joy, you know, on these kids' faces. And we went back to the room, we were talking afterwards, I was like, did anybody see, like, any toys today? Like, we visited houses and stuff like that, and it was like, we couldn't think of one thing that we saw, you know, like they might, if they had anything, it was like something they made, you know, and it was keeping them occupied. So that was something that really stood out. Deanna, was there anything else from the pictures that you wanted to?
Well, one thing that I've noticed is they really have the faith in God over there, even though they have nothing, literally nothing. The women, like Vic said, very, very strong. Like their faith in God and just believing in Jesus and preaching the word. And when you would go over there, a lot of the children never seen a white person before. So it was, that school was around 500 students just staring at you. And then we had to teach them a song, and they did very, very well with it. And then they sang us a song, which was delightful. But just the strongness of the women and the children and their belief and their faith. And there are some success stories that we did get to visit some of the homes that were amazing. I think that impressed me a lot, too, to be able to see. I mean, this is our first trip over, and then to see this lady at the bottom, and then God providing little bits here and there for her to succeed like some of the other families have.
Yeah. It's an experience just to go and be that much of a minority, you know? I mean, so, you know, we really... Those of us who are lighter colored skin don't realize what it's like. It'd be a good experience for most of us to have that experience. But it's even, I mean, it's amplified to what you would experience here. As an African American, maybe coming to a predominantly white church or something like that. Like literally there in this village we were in, we were there for 7 days and we did not see another white person. And out in the bush, like seriously, when you go out there, there's some of those kids who I don't think have ever seen, you know, someone quite as white as these girls. Now, I'm in between somewhere, but that was one of the things that stood out to them because they were like, oh, we were expecting the kids to love on us or whatever. And I'm like, well, they thought you were a ghost, you know? No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, they're like kind of like, you know, so anyhow, it's kind of funny, but it's an interesting perspective to feel that. Lindsay, anything that you want to share that just maybe stood out to you or?
When we were driving to like places, when there's children walking to school or to their house, they would just wave and then like everyone would just wave and it was so cute because they're just little kids.
Yeah, that is the other thing that was in the midst of all that, like when they did see us, like they wanted to use like their one English word that they knew, so it was always like, hi! How are you? You know, and we, you know, you start, that's all I knew. But it was great because they were kind of, you know, it was welcoming for sure. There wasn't any point, I don't think, where any of us felt unsafe, with the only exception being when we went on this, like, safari, you know, which is kind of the tourist thing, which you would think, okay, that's the part where you know, it's just supposed to be go have fun. But for whatever reason, okay, we plan this through a legitimate agency, all that stuff. And so we go to this area where everyone goes to see all these animals from elephants to lion or whatever. Everybody has like these little Toyota minivan type things. And then the top pops up and everyone's got their head out taking pictures. Well, they roll up for us with this vehicle and it's like a Humvee, not like a Hummer here, but like a Humvee with no sides on it. So you know that there's an issue when the other tourists are taking pictures of you. Like, I mean, literally, we're from here to that wall away from like five lion. The guy driving our car doesn't have a gun. In fact, he turns the thing off. The thing's got to be probably 20 years old. He turns it off. I'm thinking, why you turn that off? You know? And then when he chose to start it, it's like click. Click. I'm not kidding. Three times to start. I said, listen, don't turn that off again. There's no reason to turn it off, right? Why turn it off? And so that was about the only time we felt threatened, I think, at all. At least I did, because I was responsible for these girls. But anything else, you guys, anything else that comes to mind and you want to share, Karis?
I just wanted to say missions, if you're thinking about it, it doesn't necessarily have to be around the world. It can be right here in our community, your neighbor, your neighborhood. If you have a strong feeling in your heart, that's God, and pursue it. Rather it be something small, getting a dinner for a neighbor, helping somebody with their fence. I mean, you don't have to go all over. But don't ignore that. That's God speaking to you. So do it.
Awesome. Thanks so much, girls. Give them a hand. Couple things I want to share before I have the band come up. The Ots, send their love. They're doing well. It was great to be with them, spend some time with them. We talked about these water filters. There's a ministry there that provides these water filters for people. And we went out to some of these places, and one family that we visited with, the grandmother had three kids, little kids living there. And as we're sitting there talking, it was very similar to the situation you saw in that picture. It's out in the middle of nowhere. They walk like probably a mile and a half to a river to get water that's not clean. And what we could gather from her was more than likely the mother and father both died from not drinking clean water. So this, you know, we hear these statistics, like almost 1 billion people in the world don't have clean sanitation or, you know, sanitary conditions or clean drinking water. But when you actually walk into a place like that, I mean, it really hits home. And that's pretty far for them to walk and then to get it and not be clean water. But here's the deal. This ministry that's there, these water filters that we gave, You know how much they were? $20. $20, and that thing will filter water for a family for 10 years. So we're trying to figure out how to connect with that in some of these real dire situations. I mean, if we could just give them that, like Jesus goes, if you give a cup of water in my name, right, you'll be blessed. And so to give clean water, I mean, just, man, that's like giving up a couple Starbucks, right, for like a week, and you can provide someone with clean water. So we're trying to figure out, you know, the best way to handle that, but I think that's a real easy, just an opportunity for us to really have a great impact and show the love of Christ to people there. The other thing that was presented to us, and I will ask the band to come up now, was the school. One of the schools that they went to is out kind of in that bush. So it's a school, it's only 4 years old. It provides education for these kids who are way out there. And like I said, most of them don't have water, have very little food. So the school is proposing digging a well that they will use, majority of people there in the community, but dig a well that will, once they hit water, it'll provide water, and it's pretty clean, but the school has water filters. We actually donated one there. But it'll provide water to the school, but also to people in the community. The school has a bunch of land, and so what they want to do is actually grow some crops and be able to provide a simple, like, snack for the kids. You know, the kids, our kids go to school, and they eat lunch. These kids walk to school, no water, and they don't bring any food. And so they're there all day, usually don't eat anything. And so it's tough. It's tough to learn when you're hungry. It's just a difficult situation. But basically, $2,000 U.S. will provide a well that'll be used for that school as well as for the community, where people can come and actually draw water from that. And it'll be used to then teach the kids some agriculture, grow some food, they'll get a snack while they're there, be able to eat. So I haven't even talked to the leadership team guys about this or anything yet, but I just want to put that out there to you to know. $2,000 isn't that much money. And that's something that can change the lives. If there's 200 kids there in the school, they said they anticipate if they were to get a well there, that they would, within a year's time, probably triple. Because there's just kids who won't walk there, they can't walk there and walk home without eating, without drinking, and so it's another opportunity. So we'll be talking more about that, but I just want to encourage you, there's opportunity all around us here, but we can't close our eyes to poverty, even if it's on the other side of the world, because when we talk about heaven, when we talk about eternity, these are brothers and sisters that we will be with. And I often think of it like this, and I'm gonna, I'll leave you with this. It's like if I had 5 kids and one was real wealthy and, or say 2 or 3 were really wealthy and we had two or three that were very impoverished, very much in need. And one of my children was like, man, I just gotta take care of, I mean, I know I got a lot, but I got to take care of my stuff, and ignored the other siblings. Like, one hit the lotto, and one is destitute, and one can meet the need, and says, you know, I've got my own stuff I got to deal with. As a father, that would break my heart. That would break my heart. And I kind of think that's what it's like. God, our Father, who has some children who are very, very blessed, in the top 1 or 2% of the richest people in the world, and he's got other children that are destitute and in need. And we can't change the world. But like Mother Teresa said, you know, I can cast my one stone in the water and it will make many ripples. If we all do that, we can make a big impact. So I want to invite you to stand. We're going to sing one more song. Just, you know, let God stir your heart in this. This song talks about God coming down and rescuing us. There's people all around who need that same rescuing spiritually and physically. And so let's ask God to move our hearts on what we should do. God, remind us of how blessed we are. And we thank you for that blessing. Thank you for stepping out of heaven and coming to earth for us and loving us. God, help us to step out in faith and to love people. God, to live life with an open hand, whatever that looks like for us, to share your love with people in need. God, may you get all the glory for it. We thank you in Jesus' name. I want to remind you that communion is set up to either side. If you want to take with your family or friends, share communion in this moment. It's here. Let's worship together.